Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show.
Is work piling up and there's just too much to do? Are you getting frustrated with things backing up on you? Does your to-do list keep getting longer with no end in sight? Would you stop and relax if you weren't so uptight? Does the rat race leave your head buzzing and spinning? Is it depressing to see the damn rats are winning? Are you holding up the world but feeling it slip? Is the balance in your life beginning to tip? Did your future just flash before your eyes? Was it what you expected or a total surprise? Either way, you don't need to see it twice. Put on the brakes and consider this advice. Grab that to-do list and a ballpoint with ink. Shortening the list isn't as hard as you think. Put a check mark beside the tasks that are urgent to do. Everything else can wait until you're through. Look at your check marks and handle it this way. Put a plus beside tasks you can finish today. Rank the plus items from more urgent to less. If it's hard to decide, quick take a guess. Take your plus list and cut it in half. As the bottom drops off, don't stop to laugh. What's left is urgent, so approach it this way. Just buckle down and do today's work today.
Simon says, attend to the details without getting bogged down in them. The devil is in the details. That is Simon's only point here. What can be missed is the fact this devil is particularly devilish. Every situation, set of circumstances, problem, or issue has its broad brush look and feel. From that perspective, it takes on its special definition. Given that definition, Simon can draw on his insight and experience and take appropriate action. He does not need the details to know what to do. In fact, he is so oriented to managing people and processes at this level that he quickly becomes impatient with those who insist on providing far more detail than Simon wants or needs. Less successful leaders take a different approach. They want and need every detail, no matter how trivial. They believe the more information they have, the better will be their choices and decisions. These leaders see themselves as thoughtful and thorough. People like Simon are, they think, impulsive and inclined to shoot from the hip. Here is the underlying problem. No matter how much detailed information leaders have, there is most always more information that could be made available, if they are patient enough. There are also things they cannot know and details that will not be forthcoming no matter how patient they are. It is normally possible to know more and impossible to know everything. Leaders always act based on partial information. The challenge is knowing when to act and when to wait on more detail. Were that not enough, information tends to go down in proportion to the potential unwanted consequences of the decision or choice. The more potential there is for bad outcomes, the less well-informed the leader is likely to be. In these situations, successful leaders tend to act too quickly and less successful leaders tend to get bogged down in the details and postpone action indefinitely. Understanding these facts of leadership, Simon counsels wisely, attend to the details without getting bogged down in them. If you are apt to act too quickly, slow down and assimilate more detail. If instead, you are apt to obsess over the details, take a deep breath and act. Either way, you may want to use Simon's secret technique. He sets a specific, future time to decide. This forces him to consider more detail and to get more input. It also forces a closure to input and an endpoint for attending to detail. When the time comes to decide, he decides. As Simon puts it, when the bell rings, you just jump on the bull and hope you can hang on. Now you know, so there you go.
Do you know about panjandrums? I didn't before taking time to do some extensive research. I looked the word up in the dictionary. If panjandrum is one of your personal walking around words, I am more than a bit impressed. It's true, I probably am only impressed because I had never heard the word. And your knowing but not me, makes me think you are likely a panjandrum yourself, at least in the vocabulary department. So much for what we podcasting types call the teaser. A panjandrum is an important or influential person, a dignitary, your basic VIP. To refer to someone as a panjandrum while having a regular conversation with the folks I mostly hang around with would, to say the least, be read as a tad supercilious, but it is still a very cool word. I suggest we reserve panjandrum for the panjandrum principle. If you want to keep it as a walking around word, so be it. For me, I plan to hold it back, only using it when discussing the Panjandrum principle. The Panjandrum principle works like this. Anyone can be a Panjandrum, if circumstances coalesce to so define them. Normally, one would likely need to be a person of high repute within a fairly large domain such as government, church circles, one's community, or within the military, academe, etc. For purposes of the Panjandrum principle, however, an impressive context is not necessary. It only requires a context where one person is productively interacting with another. Politicians are masters in the application of the Panjandrum principle. When interacting with constituents or potential constituents, present or future, the recipient of the smile or handshake feels totally validated, totally valued, totally assured he or she is a VIP, the Panjandrum. We have each met special people who we know are thrilled to see us, value our presence, appreciate our taking time to interact with them, or who at least consistently evoke those feelings and impressions in us. In short, they make us feel good about ourselves, make us feel important. How do they do it? They apply the Panjandrum principle with everyone, every chance they get. Are you getting a feel for the Panjandrum principle? When interacting with most anyone, be quietly respectful, be somewhat deferential, be slightly more formal than you think the situation may call for. Ramp up attentive listening, sincere interest, friendliness, patience, and presence. Mind your manners and be nice, with a capital N. When do you follow the Panjandrum principle? With the wait staff at restaurants, with support people at the doctor's office, with supervisors and more experienced folks at work, with casual acquaintances, with everyone you meet for the first time, with anyone who is trying to be helpful, and especially with people you don't like or who rub you the wrong way. To be safe, remember you can never go wrong using the Panjandrum principle. So unless you are sure, go ahead and use it, just to be safe.
Spam is here to stay, so knowing how to spot it and what to do with it are self-protection skills everyone who has an email account seriously needs. Of course, there are free spam filters, spam blockers that can be purchased for $19.95 or $29.95 or more if you have lots of extra cash, or spam detectives that will stop spam, block pop-up ads, and probably protect you from cyber monsters. All of these products are potentially useful and may even work. While you are deciding which protection you will buy, here are a few tips I have discovered that don't cost anything and work pretty well for me, at least so far. 1. Your email client likely lets you send an auto-reply to anyone who sends you an email. Make a message that says, "I'm not replying to email today. If your message is important, give me a call or send me a letter." You know, one of those documents you put in an envelope and drop in the mail after you put a stamp on it. I know it has been a long time, but give it a try. How to do it will all come back to you if you concentrate. 2. Check your inbox and press the delete key on each new message that arrives. That will get rid of all of the spam and you can give all of your attention to sending emails to everyone you know. If anyone asks you why you didn't reply to their email, you can tell them you always delete email so you aren't bothered with spam. If you don't want to do that and aren't bothered by a little white lie, tell them your email crashed and you lost their message. The good part here is it is sort of true. You don't need to tell them you crashed it with a delete key. 3. Delete the email if it isn't from a person or company you have heard of. Sure, it may be someone you don't know or a company you may want to know is sending you an important email, but it's not likely unless you have a business that does business by email. Be especially cautious about emails from people who only have first names. Even your friends likely put their first name or initial and last name in the to line of their emails, and any reputable business will include its full name. 4. Here's my favorite. Check out the subject of the email. If you don't know what in the world it means, delete it. If it is in a language you can't speak, delete it. If it is a greeting, delete it. For example, "Hi," if it has odd characters in it, delete it. If you can't pronounce it or would never say that yourself, delete it. If it mentions personal body areas or cures or enhancements for personal body areas, delete it, unless you have a serious need for a cure or enhancement and have discussed it with your doctor and have been advised to find a cure or enhancement by reading spam. 5. Okay, you have followed tips 1-4 and absolutely can't resist opening that email you just got. Look at the first couple of lines and see what you see. If there are graphics, odd characters, or anything other than simple text that gets down to the reason for the email, delete it. If there are links to click on, delete it. If you can't tell what the point is in a paragraph or so, delete it. Unless you're sure it is good stuff and you really want to know, delete it. 6. If the email has an attachment, don't open it. If you simply have to open it, don't click on the attachment. If the email starts doing stuff without your doing anything, delete it, and if you can't delete it, turn off your computer. Can you ever open an attachment? Well, maybe, if the email is from your mother or your best friend or your boss and they sent it to you and did not forward it from someone else. If you are asked later what you thought about the attachment, it's time for one of those little white lies, I couldn't get it to open. Well, it is again sort of true. You don't need to mention that it wouldn't open because you deleted their email and the attachment went to cyber heaven with the email. 7. What should you do if you decided to ignore tips 1-6? Go to the help section of your virus software to see what it has to say about ignoring tips 1-6. If that doesn't work, maybe you can quickly develop a close personal relationship with a computer guru.
I think it is appropriate to end this idea generator session with a situation where success was not the expected or actual outcome. I do this for those of us who have to content ourselves with not winning every time. Even if I wasn't a winner in the petition game, I still think I had a point. Let me share and then you decide for yourself. I can say with all candor, I have never been tempted to initiate or participate in a petition drive. Sure, there have been many situations and conditions I have disliked and some I have disliked intensely. Even so, the petition thing never popped into my conscious thought processes. Today is the day that all changed. Why does the year start in January? I know. It's when the bowl games are and it wouldn't work having them other than at the end of the football season. That's fine if you happen to live where January doesn't bring ice and snow. But for the rest of us, football in January is silly. You're right, there are domes and the like, but that only works for the handful of communities with their own domes. Since we don't have one, football should be confined to September and maybe October, but never after Halloween. Okay, football is definitely not a good enough reason to have the year start in the middle of the winter. Well then, what about parades? Need I say it? Parades in January are even sillier than football. Were it night for those bowl games, I doubt anyone would plan a parade when a blizzard is as likely as a sunny day. Yes, there is California and Florida is there too. Arizona and Hawaii are options as well. Good for them. They can have all the parades in January they please. But please stop acting like the rest of us should think majorettes in short skirts makes sense when the temp is nearing zero. There's also the calendar thing where I suppose this deal about the year starting in January began. There are other calendars, but we are stuck with this year starts in January nonsense. I just can't believe we had choices and picked this one. 12 choices and we chose the middle of the winter. Go figure, since I sure can't. That brings me to the point of my petition. It's New Year's Eve. Nye was made for partying. Is there a worse possible time for Nye than in the midst of the ice and snow? I think not. Barbecue is out, unless you are satisfied with someone else's barbecue. Firing up the grill and throwing on some ribs is another one of those silly things when you have to wear a snowsuit. Drinks around the pool are similarly out. No, I'm not going to explain. If you don't get it, you may be one of those idiots who got us into this year starting in January silliness to start with. Just consider this. Let's start the year in April. Instead of football, we would have baseball, a much more civil sport. Odds are we could have a parade without freezing, and barbecue and drinks around the pool would be doable, although even then a dip in the pool would be out, except for the few who had already had too many drinks around the pool. Everything is politics. I've heard that and maybe even knew it. My first petition and compromise are the only way to consensus. It boiled down to this. April is often too cold and it can snow then too. July and August are too hot. And no one would be around for Nye anyway, since most are on vacation. It comes down to June 15th. The weather is nearly perfect. School is out, daylight savings time is there to improve the night party. It's a good time for another holiday and a day off work. barbecue is fine. Drinks around the pool are refreshing. And the pool is there even for the non-liquor challenged. No, the year does not have to start on the first day of some month. It can start when we say it starts. And I say it starts on June 15th. If you agree, and I am sure you do, please indicate your interest in joining my petition. I'm not clear about exactly how you do that, but have confidence you will let me know. I also am not clear about who, if anyone, will be in a position to act on our petition, but hope to figure that out next year, whenever that starts.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.